Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us and making his fifth appearance on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Colts linebacker Devon McDonald. Let me remind you about Devon's background. He was born in Kingston, Jamaica. Played his college ball at Notre Dame, where he was a part of their last national championship team back in 1988. He was a fourth-round draft pick in 1993 by the Indianapolis Colts, and he played in the NFL from 93 to 2002 for the Colts and Cardinals, plus some time over in the Arena League for the Tampa Bay Storm. And we are honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate.
Yeah.
Good evening, Devon, Chris, and Bob. Thanks for coming back on
back.
The show.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
No, we're fantastic, Devon. How are you? What's been going on with you so far this year?
Oh, well, man, I'm having a great year, man. That company I used to be with, I used to speak in school. I used to head it up as a president. Me and my wife decided to leave there and kind of branch out on our own. So just in that transition right now, and it's a good place, man. You know, I mean, working for yourself is a little different, you know?
Indeed. So, Devon, we had the privilege of having your twin brother, Ricardo, on the show last week.
Know,
we talked
man,
a little bit about the sibling rivalry that went on between the two of you, both of you excelling in the same sport, sort of always trying to one-up one another. Were you aware of the things that Ricardo was doing when you were at Notre Dame and he was at Pitt, and later on when you were with the Colts and he was with the Bengals? Were you watching to see what he was doing to motivate yourself to do better?
Of course. I mean, you know, I mean, we grew up together. We were competing from in the belly. You know what I mean? He didn't tell you this story, though, but when we were younger, my mother said, you know, that when we were born and we're growing up as little babies, that they would give us a bottle and leave the room. And when they come, both of us are crying, both the bottles are empty. And she said one day she gave us a bottle and kind of like went around the corner and snuck back around to see what's happening. She said, I drank my bottle real quick and slammed it to the ground and snatched my brother's bottle out of his bottle. So we've just been competing since we're little babies, man. but to answer your question, yeah, I tell you what, man. He was, you know what, personally, he beat it. He beat. I mean, when we played him, he every bit of 10, 12 tackles and 2 sacks. You know what I mean? Tony Rice, I had a long day when we played against him, man. But my team always beat his team, though. So at the end of the day, you know, he outplayed me, but my team outplayed his team. You know what I mean? So I got team bragging rights. He got personal bragging rights, you know?
5 questions for Devon.
Devon, talk to us more about the student-athlete experience at Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame, obviously with the great athletics and all, but you did have to attend classes there, and it must have been very tough for you, especially coming right out of high school, to get used to that kind of rigors. Talk to us more about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, and with Lou Holtz, the 3 things that Lou Holtz promised me, and my mom and my dad was, when I was being recruited, he said, number 1, you're going to graduate. Number 2, you're going to be a national champion. And number 3, every game was going to be a national TV. And the graduation was there. I mean, he talked like in the next, where most colleges, and especially at that level of football prowess, graduate maybe 50, 60%. We're talking almost 90%, you know? And so, yeah, at GA, since that was going to be in your classroom, to check you in, make sure you're there, you know. They had a lot of help, though. I mean, they gave us a lot of help, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of tutors, you know what I mean. So if a guy is failing, you just want to fail, you know what I mean, because there's so much available to you, because they, you know, the better student that you are, you're a better athlete. So if guys that are studying in the book in class are generally also studying on the football field, you know what I mean? So I think Lou Holtz kind of knew that too. So he definitely pushed, you know, to make sure that we're getting our grades together, which kept you eligible. But he wanted more than that for us. And I mean, he would tell us, man, just, you know, be friends with the people. Matter of fact, we didn't have athletic dorms. We lived in the dorms with everybody else. You know, we're a lot of schools like Miami, they said, man, we got our own place and everything. he didn't want that because he knew that if we could be amongst the people, that, you know, they can help us and just to be a regular person.
And Devon, when you got to the NFL, we've talked to so many people on the show who played under Ted Marchabrota. He was your first coach. I know you probably had more to do with Venturi than you did with Ted, but Ted seemed to be incredibly well-liked from everybody we've had on the show. What did you think of him, and how would you remember him?
Okay, man, let me tell you this. I noticed that Tony Dungy is a player coach. Ted was not player coach. I mean, I don't think Lou Holtz was as much a player coach as Ted was, man. So I got to tell you this quick story. The defensive back coach, you know, we drank on Thursday because Friday was a light practice. So, man, we just horsing around and being, I mean, we're on the scout team and we just messing up the drill. And he came in the huddle and he said, listen, you guys better straighten this up because Ted is not going to yell at me again. It was the first time I said, what? Yeah. He said, man, he don't yell at you. He yell at us. And that's when he opened my eyes up to say, man, that's why this guy's a great coach, because he know who to yell at. He yell at the coaches, which in turn yell at us. But we love him because he never yell at us, man. I mean, he was just, and I say one more quick story, man, because it's real good. It's, my brother's team was playing against Cincinnati. And all preseason, man, we had a lot of penalties, right? So he said, no penalty this game, no penalty. So a guy now, he's coaching against him in college. He's coaching, I think, at Kansas City, Eric Bieniemy, man. Mm-hmm. And Eric, I'm running out on the punt team, about to make the tackle on Eric Metcalf, and he pushed me in the back. I came and I went to punch and I missed, and the ref threw a flag, and I came out on the sideline, man. And the first person I saw was Ted. He said me, and he just said, Devon, I'm so disappointed. And let me tell you something, man. If he would have smacked in my face, I would have felt better, man. And I disappointed him, man. He just, you know, he just did. But he's one of the better coaches that I've had in my lifetime.
And Devon, staying with your time with the Colts, 1993, the fans voted you as their unsung hero of the year.
Yeah,
How great was it to have the fans recognize you like that?
Come on. And let me tell you something. I'm still speaking. I spoke at the football team here in Indianapolis, Columbus North, a couple hours ago. And I shared with them that, you know what, man? Probably the most coveted award I've ever gotten in my life was that. I've been the player of the game, CBS, and I was the MVP of the Cotton Bowl and all that. Yeah. When the fans, these people pay their hard-earned money, right? I am the inaugural winner of the Colts. I'm the first time they ever did it, right? Voted for 57, linebacker. I mean, to me, that's an award that just speaks for itself. You know what I mean? And when I told a young man a few hours ago, I said, man, they saw that I played with passion. I wasn't the best player, but I gave the best effort. You know what I'm saying? I went all out. And so, you know, that's one thing people look for. That's what you control. You can control your effort. You know what I mean? So that's an effort type award. And now, you know, when I received it, they brought me in a room, they took some pictures, gave me some cards, and gave me a big poster, and said, now go back to practice. Now they fly them guys down to Washington, D.C., man. Put them guys up in a hotel with their family, and they have a good time, man. You know what I mean?
And, Devon, you started out with the Colts as a special teams player, and you were named the Colts Special Teams Player of the Year that following year in 1994.
Yeah.
What do you think about being recognized at that level? Now, when you look at today's game and all the things they're trying to legislate out of the kickoffs, how does it compare to when you were playing to what you see now around the league with respect to the kickoffs?
Yeah, well, I man, especially with the kickoff. I said we are suicide bombers, man. You know, I mean, when you look at the fact that you are on a kickoff team and your job, especially the position I played, man, I was on the inside, right? I'm playing number five position and my job was to break up the wedge. Now they don't even do a wedge, man. They don't do a wedge no more, you know? I mean, the wedge consists of an average of 300 pounds. You know what I mean? And here I am at two trying to run down and to bust that up, man. And that's what I did, you know, to receive that award. That's what I did. I literally went down there. I remember, matter of fact, one year we played against, they used to be the Houston Oilers and they ended up being the Tennessee Titans. But that game, because they were doing a run and shoot, the coach said, you're not going to play as much defense. So I did all the special teams. I had like five tackles on the special teams, man. I mean, like three of them on just on the kickoff. So, yeah, I mean, to receive an award like that. But to how it is today, I see why they make the changes, you know what I mean? Because the hits are devastating, man. And TV don't even do it justice. Because the collision, you know what I mean? Especially when the wedge was going on, it just, there were times when I hit the wedge, and I remember walking off, and I was literally on the brown sideline. That's when I knew that I was not on my own sideline. You know what I mean? Because the wedge, and I just got up and started walking. That was my sideline, man. So, yeah, in some ways, like I said, I understand why they're doing it, but from a guy who has done it, man, you know, to me, it's like the toughness about it. Maybe they kind of deadening some of that, you know?
Bob, one more for Devon before we let him go.
Yeah, Devon, you got to play that 1 year in Arizona, and I was looking over that roster, especially on the defensive side, playing with guys like Eric Swan and Aeneas Williams, Seth Joyner. Yeah. These were great players. Tell me about that 1 year in Arizona. Was it enjoyable for you?
I tell you what, man, it really was, man. Playing with them guys like Seth Joyner. I mean, I grew up watching Seth, man, you know, over with Buddy Ryan over there in the Eagles. And then the man that helped me to be led to Christ, man, Seth Williams. Hardest worker I've ever seen him. I mean, he walked the walk and talked the talk. He said he was a Christian. He lived it. And then he played like you think a Christian should play. I tell people, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. And you know what happened 3 years ago, right? He was put in the Hall of Fame, you know. So that team, we overachieved, man, because, you know, people didn't expect too much. But there was a sniff on that team, man, that was unbelievable. Guy like Kwame Lassiter, I mean, Eric Hill, our linebacker. I mean, the list goes on. There were some great players. So, yeah, and Coach Mack, who ended up being the head coach after a while, McGinnis. I mean, great. I mean, that's a player's coach, man. That guy, he's like Barry Alvarez from Wisconsin. You know what I mean? I mean, they just love players. He's tough with the players, but then they love you so much, man, you want to do your very best for them. You know what I mean?
Devon, before we let you go, got to get a quick thought on the Colts for this upcoming season. What are your expectations? Can they compete with the other teams in the AFC South? Because the Jags, Titans, and Texans look awful tough.
They do, man. They do. You know, I put it like this. I think one of the best things that could have happened for the Colts is to bring in a quarterback, a coach that used to be a quarterback. Because I think that's one of, you know, when I look at what have happened in the past with the quarterback position, I don't think they manage him. He's a tough guy. But you got to manage a tough guy. You got to tell him sometimes, man, you got to rest. And what happened, I don't know if they manage him good enough. Well, it's evident because he's been hurt. You know what I mean? He's coming back, which we really surprised me. I never thought he's going to make it back. But I'm just hope, you know. So if they could manage him right, and I think the offensive line is vastly improved, you know what I mean, especially a guy from Notre Dame, with Quinton, you know, as our guard, and then Kelly as our center. I mean, he's going into his second or third year now. I mean, going to be vastly improved. So, yeah, I mean, T.Y. Hilton. I'm expecting a lot. We'll see, man. I mean, I have high hopes for the Colts this year.
Devon, before we let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with the great things that you're doing, whether it's online or on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm not the most savviest one, but I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter. I tweet every now and then. And then, if you need somebody to speak in your church, the ministry that we're developing now is where I came from, speaking school. So they want to do some of that, but yeah, you know, just connect with me on the social media. And, I'm also on LinkedIn also.
Devon, it's always such a pleasure for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Can't thank you enough for your time tonight. We hope you'll come back and be a part of the show again sometime real soon.
Hey, now, I don't know if you guys can do it, but if you can have me and Rico on at the same time, that might be good too, man.
That would.
Just a thought.
Yes, it would. So, we'll try to make that happen. We appreciate you, Devon. Take care, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
Take care.
Okay. All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
See ya.